Hey gang, welcome back. So we watch stuff 101. I'm Jeremy. Shahid's on the other end, and we are back from my vacation. So how's it going, man?
Everything's going fine. Jeremy went on vacation and was slacking off, and yes. I went and got a brand new fence for the house. So
yes, I saw that. Very nice.
Yes.
So that's our old man portion of the show.
it should be nice for the cost. No, it's funny. Right before we started the show, I just came back from the UPS store to fax off my form for a loan forgiveness program because our new Secretary of Education is trying to get rid of it.
See, okay. I was going to talk briefly about my trip overseas, and I stayed at a resort. I went to Cancun, stayed at the Royal Sands. It's a nice place. It's a resort. You know, it can be all-inclusive if you want or not, whatever. And you really get lost. Like, we were falling asleep early, sleeping in late. It was great. And you didn't have to worry about any of this stuff. But then later on during the week, we have to, like, we buy our own food so we can save money on breakfast and all that sort of stuff. And there was, like, a very skinny USA Today every day. And I avoided it, and finally, I don't know what got me, but I was, like, on Thursday, I think, knowing we're coming home, I'm like, well, let's see how things are getting screwed up over back home. And I just looked at the cover. I don't know what it was, and I just went, I'll worry about it Sunday. So it's almost as if the previous week didn't actually happen. So, although I did see while we were overseas, the head of the FBI got fired.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a normal thing to have happen.
Yeah, like I say, it's funny. I grew up reading Tom Clancy novels, and now I get to see it in real life.
Well, wait, which one? The Harrison Ford or the
Ford ones? Yeah.
Okay. I was like, it's the Ben Affleck one. Well, maybe that's what we're actually in. Is the Ben Affleck ones? My quality standards. So,
yes.
But yeah, I got like I think I told you I got to see an actual real life sea turtle in the ocean, like not in captivity. That was cool, and got to stand on some lava rocks and made the wife nervous. So, totally worth it.
Oh, well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yes,
so.
And a whole lot of nothing. So
yeah. So while you were doing that, we were getting our fence put in. It was It was supposed to be finished in a day. It took 2 days. Because one of our neighbors next door, I swear they have Cujo as a pet. They have this big dog. I have never seen the dog. I always hear the dog. Whenever I go outside, the dog barks. It has its own doghouse. It has a 8-section fence around the doghouse. There's signs on the door saying, beware of dog, guard dog, no solicitation. And they wouldn't go. They had to take down the old part of the fence to put the new fence, but they were saving that side for last because the dog was trying to dig underneath the fence when it wasn't trying to jump over the fence to try to get at the workers. Yeah. So I wait for the neighbors to get home. They had the door where it's like solid wood with the trap door where you talk in and out, and they opened it up. I'm like, am I at the Addams Family? Like, the family's nice, but I'm like, this seems kind of sketchy. And I hear the dog dragging the little girl, because, like, don't open up the door. We don't have the guard. We don't have the dog strapped down. And I'm just hearing this dog just barking and this girl's feet shuffling over the wooden floor. So I'm like, yeah, we're trying to put the fence up. Oh, yeah, I know. I saw. I'm just trying to calm the dog down. And I'm like, yeah, this seems like Stephen King.
Yeah.
Waiting to go down. Like, I know it's nothing wrong with protecting your stuff, but yeah.
That dog's a little too hyped up. Do they have children?
Yes, they have multiple children. Like, the dog broke a piece of their fence trying to get through.
Oh my God, what kind of dog is this?
I have no clue. I have never seen a dog in my life. I just hear the dog.
You know what? Good. Keep it that way.
Yeah,
holy
like
crap.
I don't even want to see the dog. And it was fun. Like, they have a dog house and it's like a tarp over it, and all you see is like the tarp bouncing up. I'm like, what is this, Jurassic Park?
Yeah. Like, is someone gonna get a flare and run to the cage at the end?
Yeah, like, they got a damn raptor back there. It ain't no dog. So
wow.
Yeah, so that was fun. But beyond that, you know, just relaxing back on the J shift for a little bit. You saw one movie when you got back. I saw two movies during that time.
Yes.
So
well, let's jump. Yeah, let's start with that. I saw that you went and saw King Arthur, and that surprised me, to be honest, because I thought we talked and both of us were like, eh.
Yeah. You know what happened? I was going to see The Wall with John Cena and Aaron
Johnson.
His name? Taylor Johnson. But I think what happened is by the time I finished working out, the movie didn't start till 2. And I didn't feel like waiting that long. So I just went to see, like, King Arthur's playing like 1:10. So I'm like, okay, I'll go see this. So I go. And 3 quick points, because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this movie. 1, I don't know why that movie cost $175 million. I don't know who thought it was a good idea to give Guy Ritchie all that money for a King Arthur movie, considering, like, you know, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. didn't do that well. And I'm watching the movie, I'm like, this movie doesn't look expensive. Like, it's funny, when we did Kong Skull Island, we were talking about how the movie was expensive, but it looked like it. Like, it looked like money well spent. The movie was gorgeous, and it looked like it was worth it. And this is like, this is just, yeah. Like, why? I'm the whole time just thinking, like, who thought this was a good idea? And I'm thinking this while I'm watching a movie. And then second part is, Charlie Hunnam got pretty boy disease. Like, people do not know how to use him in movies. And I don't know. I thought it might be him. Like, maybe all he can, like, he's good in Sons of Anarchy, but that's all he can do. But I've seen him in other stuff that he's decent in. But him playing the straight hero type don't work. And it's funny, we've talked about that with different actors and actresses. Like, if he didn't look the way he looked, he'd probably have a better career. Like, if he was less attractive, he'd probably be better off, because then people would treat him like an actor instead of like a pretty boy with a six-pack. And the third part was, it was like 2 different movies. Like, when it was, you've seen Guy Ritchie movies, so you know his type of humor. When they're doing that part, like the humor part and everything, the movie is fine. Like, the movie is actually, like, the jokes are actually funny, and the humor, even though it doesn't fit the movie whatsoever, is like funny. When they're trying to be funny, it's funny. When they're doing all the action and Lord of the Rings stuff, it just falls apart. Like, it's like, it does not work at all. Like, it's just, and that's the biggest thing, is like, it doesn't know what it's trying to be either. It doesn't know if it wants to be serious or jokey, so it tries to do both. The jokes work, the serious part doesn't. And it's just like, I watched it and I'm like, I didn't mind seeing it, but it just seemed like it was just off.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned the budget on that, and, I mean, I haven't seen it, and from the TV, I'm like, whatever. It looks like there was actually a lot of locations used. I don't know, would that be fair? Like, instead of sets, they were actually on location? I guess that could eat up.
That would explain something, because it was kind of like, the funny thing was, it seemed like a big budget Game of Thrones, like, location wise, because the locations look nice. Like, if that's real location, not green screen, that would explain a lot, because it's a lot of different terrain that they use, and they have a lot of different, like, it's funny, even talk about the movie, like, the actors that are in it do a good job with the stuff they have. Like, you know, Jude Law is actually real good as the villain. Like, they make you care about the villain. The story is kind of fun, like King Arthur trying to get over PTSD and trying to, like, leave, even though he doesn't want to. But it's just, it shows how hard it is to do fantasy and that, and those type of movies and stuff like that. And I think it's kind of, I don't even try to compare anything to Lord of the Rings, because it's kind of unfair, even though this movie was expensive as hell. But it just shows you how special Game of Thrones is, because when it's not in the right hands and you don't commit to it, it just looks cheap and it looks trashy. Like, first thing you see is elephants like the size of an aircraft carrier. Like, seriously, like, these elephants have to be like Godzilla size. And I'm like, what am I watching? Yes. Okay. These things are huge. And they're like, and he's like, they're controlled by these evil wizards, and they're setting people on fire, and they're throwing fireballs, and I'm like, what is this? Like, the first thing I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm watching it, and it just seemed like the whole movie, just when it did the fantasy stuff, it always seemed off. When it did the acting stuff and the jokes part, it seemed fine. But if you spending half the movie doing it like a fantasy movie, then and you're not doing the fantasy right, that's that's a problem, and that's a big problem in the movie.
Well, that's what watching the preview for this, I was confused by it, and then it said King Arthur, and I'm like, my first impression when I saw that it was a King Arthur movie was, ugh, again. How many of these things have there been?
A lot, and most of them haven't done it. And most of them haven't done it right.
Yeah, and it's like, cause what was it? Legends of Tomorrow. You know, they had the whole King Arthur thing. At least it was like one episode. You know, it was kind of a different take. You know, like, all right, so for 40 minutes, that's fine.
But yeah, for we had the Camelot show on Stars. We had the Merlin show on Sci-Fi. We had the King Arthur movie Antoine Fuqua did.
That movie is actually made more right now than this one has.
It's a for all the stuff people talk about the movie, that's a much better movie.
I can't remember the last time I've seen it.
And I always make the joke saying, like, look at IMDb and look at that cast and see, like, that cast is insane. Like, it has, what, Clive Owen, Keira Knightley, the two leads from Hannibal, the guy that played Beowulf, the guy that played Punisher, the main villain from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, one of the guys from Inglourious, like, from top to bottom, like, the first nine names are, like, stars and character actors that all did that movie. And it's kind of like, how did that happen? So, but no, that movie's a lot better than this one because at least it stuck to what it was trying to do. Like, it tried to tell a serious story, and it basically went all in. This one tried to have it both ways. Like, I want to stick my toe in the water and kind of do it, but not do it. And he grabs the sword. Like, in this one, like, he grabs Excalibur, and it's like he turns into a superhero. Like, he got super speed. He can throw hurricanes, fly. Like, I didn't know what was going on with the action. Like, he grabbed the sword and he turned into Thor or ninja. But I couldn't tell. And normally I could do a good job describing movies. It's a lot part of that movie. Like, I have no clue what's going on, like, at all. And I'm just watching, like, okay. And yeah, that movie bombed on arrival. Everyone knew it was going to bomb before it came out. And it, yeah, it's talking about it's going to be the first of a 6-part series. Like,
no, it's not.
No, it ain't. Like, maybe it'd be on Hulu Plus or something. Like, it ain't going to be in a movie theater.
I was confused when it came out. And then when I saw how much it cost, I thought, holy crap. But I looked at Sherlock Holmes movies. You know, Guy Ritchie made those, the ones with Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr. First one cost $90 million. The second one cost $125 million. Now, it's been a while since I've seen those, all right? But, huh?
At least those movies made money. So that's why the second one cost what it cost. To put it in perspective, like, those are considered relatively cheap. Think of it this way. This movie just came out cost about $55 million more than Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I'm kind of like, you didn't need to spend. That's the whole thing with these budgets and movies. Like, you can spend a lot when you know you're gonna make a lot. Like, when it's a Marvel movie or Fast and Furious or like Jurassic Park or even like DC or Transformers. Or like, when you spend that much, you know you're gonna make it back anyway, so you don't worry about it. We always laugh about Pirates Caribbean movies being ridiculously expensive, like $200 and $300 million, but they make money too. You spending $180 million on a King Arthur movie with no big-time stars? It's like, one, why? Two, who signed off on that? Like, no one was like, you know, this may not be a good idea. Like, let's pump the brakes. They were like, we're just going to go all in, and this is going to be the start of a movie. Everyone wants to do a movie franchise. You got to get the first movie done right. Like, get the first one first. And then go with the whole, if the first one works, then we can build on that. Like, that's... Yeah. That's my review of King Arthur. What the hell were they thinking?
Oh, I thought it was the noise at the end. Just good enough for me. But yeah. So the other movie we both saw, and I know it's a week late, but whatever. Since it's still the biggest movie in the world, and right now the in this country, the number two overall grossing movie, and it's been out 2 weeks. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Not Part 2, Volume 2. I read some people saying the movie's too long, this and this, and I'm like, I guess so. But I had a great time watching this movie. And I don't know if it's just because I like the characters, I like how different it is, and it seems to embrace the goofiness of everything. There's no apologies in this movie for how stupid some of this stuff really is. And I think that's why I love it. And for me, I didn't see the end coming. Maybe I was too wrapped up in the movie, but spoilers for a 2-week-old movie, when Yondu dies, I'm like, where's the rescue? Like, you can't have this big moment and then just have it die like that. So, but I know I jumped way ahead, but I really enjoyed the movie. Yeah,
you definitely did. I enjoyed the movie, especially the end. It's funny, like, I've seen it twice. Like, I saw it the night it first came out, and then I saw it that weekend with Darlene. Darlene actually saw it twice because she saw it again with her mom. And I think the first time I saw it, I was like, you know what? It doesn't flow like the first one, but the beginning and ending are better, and it has like a lot more emotional stakes. But watching it the second time, it's hard to rank them. Like, if it ain't close, I think it's because it's a different movie. And it's specifically, it goes out its way being different. Because people always complain about with sequels, like, it's just the same or it's more of the same. And this one is like, it took the characters you knew and spaced them out. And it made you care about people you didn't think you cared about. Like, yeah, the whole stuff with Yondu, like, and we might as well jump into it, like, Yondu, Peter, and Ego. Like, you know, I have a dad, but I have a stepdad too. It's like my stepdad raised me more than my dad. And I always kind of rebelled against him when he first married my mom and everything. Like, you're not my dad and da-da-da-da-da and everything. And it's tough dealing with that. Like, it took a while to, you know, get used to, get over it. But it kind of, like, knowing all of that and knowing where we are now and just watching the whole thing, I like how family just was like, yeah, the more the movie went, the rougher it start feeling. Like, you know, the whole thing with the Ego, kind of like I was bouncing around from planet to planet and trying to find life because I was by myself. And I found your mom and I love your mom. Like, all this thing, like, oh, it was romantic and everything. He loved his mom and da 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 da. And I just want to, you know, build with my son. And they're playing catch with the, you know, the energy football. Yeah, yeah. And then it gets to the point where, you know, I loved your mom too much and it was taking away from my mission and it just hurt when I put the tumor in her head. Man, I was like, because you kind of knew something was up because it was like between the way Mantis was acting and it was like, you know, it's a little too good to be true. But on the other hand, it's Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell's easily likable. It's like, okay, he's just this rough, scraggly guy, but he's got a heart of gold and he just wants to reconnect with his son. But then him just pop up like, yeah, it's a shame I killed your mom. And then Peter's reaction, like, as soon as he hears that, he just start blasting. And then from that point on to the stuff with Yondu, it was like, you know, he may be your father, but he ain't your daddy. And like, when he died at the end of that second, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, because I was kind of dreading it. Like, I hope he doesn't die. I hope not. And then they're in space and it happens. And, oh, like, I didn't cry. But that was probably the most emotional part I've ever had, like, in a Marvel comic movie. Because the one thing people say about Marvel comic movies, like, you know, they always have these high stakes, but nothing ever happens. No one ever loses anything. And this one, you had a semi-major character die, and you had a great villain that you wouldn't expect to be a villain. Like, you had consequences, and it was... It didn't feel like cheap or exploitive. It just felt like it was earned. And reading the interview, James Gunn said, he said the hardest thing he had to do was that scene because he has Michael Rooker in a lot of his movies. Like, he was trying to find a way to kind of like avoid killing them off, but he's like, I didn't want to cheapen the story. Mm-hmm. It serves a purpose, so this is why I did it. But I hated doing it. And it's kind of like, the only first thing she said when we lost the movie is like, why did he have to die?
It's funny because Elise said, I can't believe they killed Merle. I'm like, oh my god. I was like, Yondu? She's like, yeah, Merle. I was like, okay, whatever. But she's like, I didn't like that. It's like, I don't know why he had to die. And I'm like, I don't know, because it was reminiscent of the first movie, you know, Peter and, not Nebula.
Gamora.
Thank you. And, you know, they kept going back and forth, and it kind of makes sense now why Peter didn't die out there. But there was a last second, you know, Yondu saved them, but this time there was no saving him. And I don't know, it was that part. But then when they were showing, they did like the quick flashbacks. I like how they didn't linger on it as well. Mm-hmm. It was like flash, 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 and the Mary Poppins line cracked me up.
Oh, that line was hilarious.
But at the same time, still had like most of the movie, you know, whenever something bad was going on, they'd crack jokes, almost a little too much at times. But you're expecting like Peter to be a smartass, you know, because that's just what he is. But when he goes, he's like, you look like Mary Poppins. Like, Mary Poppins, is he cool? Which at first was funny. He said he. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, you're expecting him to be like, no, it's a chick or something like that. Instead, he goes, yeah, he's pretty cool. And it was like, oh, all right, so we're okay now.
And then he busts out the line, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. Oh, that was, I laughed my ass off. Because it was just so, it's funny, like a simple line like that and everything built to it was like just so effective. And that's the thing about the movie, was kind of like they made you care about people. Like, even they were like, what's his face? Kraglin? Like, his second?
Yes. That was like, rough, man.
Yeah, like, a little minor character had a whole arc. Like, the whole thing, like, you know, he was feeling a certain way, feeling jealous that Yondu cared, treated Peter better, treated everybody else, kind of led to a mutiny. Then you see, it's like, oh, my friends died. Like, I ain't wanted to get this far. And then, you know, like the little song, he busy singing that little soup song, like even little funny stuff. And then seeing like, you know, his captain die. And then at the end, when they have the Ravager funeral, they come and he's seeing, he's just like, finally. And it's like that itty bitty character, they built him up like, you know, like, wow. Like that movie did a great job of making stuff matter.
Yeah. And well, that was the effective part. Like that, when they were just dumping the Ravagers out into space. And the later on, you know, Yondu, they, you know, Nebula blew his fin off and all this stuff. And then he just tells me, he's like, I didn't expect this or something. And he goes, they killed all my friends. And you could just see the regret. Like, he made a mistake by not just pulling Yondu aside before and be like, hey, what are you doing? And it cost him everything. And then Yondu still took him back. Mm-hmm. That's some powerful shit right there. Which, you know, you don't really, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the other Marvel movies and you haven't really gotten that weight at all. That I can remember, at least.
Yeah, so. Like, even, like, it hasn't been a lot of deaths. Like, the only other death I can remember is, like, the second Thor, when Thor's mom dies. But you don't spend enough time with her for it to, like, matter that much.
True.
It's like, she passed, and, like, it was more effect, like, how it affects Thor and Loki more than anything like that. But it was like, yeah, it sucks, but you didn't, it's when like they didn't make you care enough, because that should have been a more powerful thing. Everybody else is like, oh, they get a flesh wound or they get injured. Like, people don't, that's the whole thing. It's like in the Marvel movies, people don't die. Like the heroes, the villains do, the heroes normally don't. So to see heroes actually pass away or have high stakes is, yeah, like, it makes you care. Like, this stuff, like we talk about, like, the stuff with Nebula and Gamora. I felt bad for Nebula. It's like, that whole line, you always wanted to win, and I just want a sister. Like, just stop everything in its tracks, because, like, I can see where she's coming from. It's not like Gamora was the villain, but it's like, imagine every time your sister bests you, you lose a part of your body. Oh, you know, you gotta keep up with it. So I'm gonna take your arm off, or take your heart out, or, you know, replace half your brain with a computer. And Gamora doesn't think she's doing anything wrong. She's just trying to live too. Like, I gotta do what I gotta do to see tomorrow. And a lot of, you know, like, you can understand where they're both coming from, so you don't hate either one of them. But it makes you care about, even when Nebula's doing some horrible crap and she's doing, it's like, she kind of semi-justified in a lot of stuff. And at least I like how they end. Like, they weren't all buddy buds. Like, you know, yeah, we're family, but I still got to do what I got to do. So I'm going to hug you, but I ain't going to, you know, be church hug, pelvis out. And I'm out. So, yeah, like little stuff like that has made you care about people.
Well, I think a lot of this, though, was relatable. The Rocket stuff, you know, the stuff with him and Yondu seemed a little out of the blue. But then it made sense. But then it was at the end when Rocket, I can't remember the exact words, but Rocket was doing something, and it was near the end, and Peter came back for something, and Rocket looks at him and goes, "Wait a minute, you came back?" And he's like, "Yeah, of course I did." Kind of like, you know, Rocket knew he was being a jerk to everybody, and he messed up, and this and this, and he honestly thought everyone gave up on him. And then just to see, like, the look, I mean, so to make this perfectly clear, this is a raccoon that's been genetically altered that's not even a real raccoon, you know, it's all CGI, and the effect of his face, looking back at Peter, like, I mean, he was both devastated and then, you know, relieved, or, I don't know, surprised, I guess, that no matter how he acted, you know, his family, friends, they still came back for him. And then him, like, leaving Peter behind, when he thought, you know, I've already lost one friend today, I'm not losing, I can't stand to lose another, I can't stand to lose the rest of you. You know, maybe some people treat it as heavy-handed, but for what was really kind of a goofy movie for most of this, it got, like, some ultra-serious tone at the end.
Yeah, because it was kind of like the effect of fame. Like, it's funny where it was built up, even from the first movie, like, Rocket was always walking around, I got a chip on my shoulder because I got genetically engineered and tortured and abandoned, so nah, y'all ain't getting close, because no. And even in the first movie, it was kind of like that. Even when they were in a team, he was kind of like dickish up until when Groot died. And like, and it's funny, like, think about that. What happens in part two makes Groot dying in part one just hurt all that much, because people think, Groot came back as baby. Like, it ain't the same Groot. Like, it's a group, but he don't remember anything that happened from the first one. And this, like, whew. Like, this silly space Star Wars movie had a whole lot of feelings going along, like, about family and fatherhood and what defines family and stuff, and kind of, like, wrapped it in a bunch of LSD and jokes.
Yeah.
And 70s, 80s music, because, yeah. And it's kind of like, I heard a lot of people, like, saying, oh, it's like a regular Marvel reality. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you, James Gunn suckered a lot of people, because it looked like, oh, it's just the same, like, part one. You got the music, you got the flashy stuff, you got bright colors. And then, but then you got a guy with a fin and a raccoon bonding over pain. Like, yeah, like, when Groot getting kicked around and, you know, they pour the stuff on him, I saw little kids crying, because it was kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, on one hand, like, oh, it's too much, baby. I'm like, one, he's adorable. Two, kids see this movie. And this seeing him is kind of like, it's not, the movie is for everybody. It's not just for us. It's for our children, too. And it's kind of like, I'm watching them, and I'm almost 40. And I'm feeling bad for a walking plant that I know is not real. And I'm just walking like, why are they bullying him? He's just a kid. Like, it's the way, you know the movie works when you care about things you have no business caring about.
Yeah, well, I think the important part is it's a
not a story that is
it's a mini plant that's being bullied, and it really and it, what was it? They're not going to kill him because he's too adorable to kill. You're like, oh, ha ha ha! And then the next them is them just. I mean, didn't someone kick him?
Yeah, he was running. First, they made him put on, like, first they took him to tell him, made him put on the uniform, and then he tried to run at, like, they spill something on him. He tries to run at somebody, he gets kicked. And it's just, he's just moping and everything. And the CGI was amazing, because they emoted the hell out of him. And it's just like, wow. Like, basically, like, a lot of things I'm saying was just the whole movie was wow. Speaking of wow, Kurt Russell. Wow.
Yeah. Look, all right. So look, as cartoony as, you know, Fate of the Furious was, and whatever, that's a positive. But, you know, he just shows up, does his thing. But in this, it's like he just ate up everything they gave him. And he made the most ridiculous stuff sound cool. Or like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I mean...
You said it exactly. Like, he made goofy space stuff sound normal. And that's hard, especially when you're non-English. Because the always joke is like they get English people to do sci-fi because they used to saying stupid stuff because they do theater all the time. And it's like, the stuff Kurt Russell was talking about is ridiculous, but you never thought about it because it sounded like it's Kurt Russell. You sound like, you know, I'm your uncle that used to surf and then I sell weed. I'm just the cool man. Like you said, he just owned that role, and it was just, you know, him on a egg spaceship, standing on a spaceship.
Yeah. Riding like through space on top of a spaceship, destroying a fleet of ships, and you're like, huh? And that's what was funny. Was it Rocket that said, is that a man?
Yes, and him and Drax going like, how big is he? Like, he's about this small. Like, it was a 3-inch man. Come on. Well, we were closer, he looked bigger. So, and it's just funny, like, you know, one, the aging technique, like, they're getting better and better with this whole de-aging thing, like, to the point where it's starting to get creepy. Because in the beginning, when he's riding there, it's like, I know Kurt Russell doesn't look like that, only because I know Kurt Russell is old. But if I didn't know, I wouldn't know. Because I'm looking at this, and it's like, wow. Like, the things they do with, like, you don't got to worry about the whole face paint or old people makeup. Like, I'm just watching it. And then the whole vibe he has, like, it's easy to trust Kurt Russell. Because he's just, you know, he's cool. He's trustable. Like, you know, it's kind of building on the fact that you know it's Kurt Russell no matter what he's wearing and everything. You've seen the movies he's been in. He's been the cool dude. And now he's, like, you know, old, relaxing, saint, like, kind of like Jeff Bridges. And it's funny because Iron Man did it with Jeff Bridges where you normally trust Jeff Bridges when you see him. So when he ends up being an asshole, you get surprised. The difference is it kind of – Jeff Bridges was bald. He doesn't look right. Bald Jeff Bridges never looked right. So it's like, okay, I don't trust this guy. I'm used to him having a full mane of hair. And it was like Kurt Russell was like, okay, I can trust Kurt Russell. Mm-hmm. And until you can, it's like he got to be top three as far as movie villains they had. Like, easy. And he wasn't even villainous. From his point of view, that's the best thing about it. Like, you know, I'm just being myself. I'm a god, lowercase g. I'm just trying to find life. This life ain't good enough. So my plan is to make me everywhere. Like, because I feel like that's the best, and I don't know any better. And yeah, I'm going to tell Pete I killed his mom. Like, why would Pete, like, you know, it's small potatoes. We passed that. Like, he's so damn above it all. He wouldn't think that would be an issue.
Yeah, and that's all right. So that the not believing you're a villain part, and then killing your own children. I mean, I know, like, his plan is, you know, he's gonna remake the universe in his image, and he was a Celestial, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't in the first movie one of the spaceports in the empty head of a Celestial that died?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
All right. I thought so. So I was trying to figure out, like, I understood his plan, but I was just trying to figure out the physics involved in this. Like, he was just a conscience floating through space, and then he decided to create himself as a planet,
mm-hmm.
right? And then he gave himself a body just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
All right. So my thing is, why does he look old?
Because he wants to. Like he said, he wants to have the whole thing. I feel pain, I sweat, just like...
But then he kept dying and coming back, so I was like, eh, I don't know.
I mean, it's kind of like, why do all the Terminators look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? It's like,
that was actually explained.
Yeah, I know, they did explain. It's still kind of like, you know, you got to... It's like, you know, it's this main, it's the last one that we have and everything. But I was kind of like, if you're trying to, you know... an infiltration unit or try to blend in. Arnold Schwarzenegger only blended in if you had, like, Mr. Olympia, but I got the story behind. It's like, I understand.
And you, it's kind of like, you wanted to look like, who was the guy in T2?
Robert Patrick.
Yeah, you'd want him to look like Robert Patrick. You know, just
but it's kind of like, you know, he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger because Arnold Schwarzenegger's playing him. Yeah. I understand. Like, that's fine. And it's like, you know, he's old because he wants to be that way, and it's Kurt Russell. But it's like, it's just funny where the whole story between him. Like, he's not a villain. He's just so detached from humanity and, like, so above it all that he doesn't think his actions would be a big deal. Like, well, look at your friends. They're going to die. We passed that. And he figures once he shows Peter the truth and everything and shows him the power he can deal with, Peter understand why, the hell with it. And it just shows the difference between, like, you know, Peter grew up with people and cares about people. And, like, you know, when they form it, like, this is the biggest difference between them. They form their bodies and fight, and he forms, like, a big version of himself, and Peter forms Pac-Man.
That was pretty funny.
Because Peter's like, one of his lines say, oh, I can do this power, I'm going to make some crazy shit. Like, you know, I'm just so not, I'm going to make stupendous stuff or celestial stuff. I'm going to make some weird ass stuff, because at the end of the day, he's like that weird 80s kid. And
that was one of the things, but then also the Kurt Russell part, his introduction cracked me up too. He goes, I'm your father, Peter. And he goes, no, you're not. He's like, come on. He's like, the fabulous hair, the cocksure attitude, whatever else, basically describing Peter. And I was like, you know what? Kurt Russell's a pretty damn good choice for this. I didn't even think of it that way. So, yeah. You know, I was looking up Kurt Russell, like, awards that he's won or been, nominated for. He's never been nominated for Academy Award for anything.
Yeah, he's never... I don't think he's had any roles where he's tried to.
Silkwood's probably that's when he got nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yeah. He doesn't do a lot of serious stuff. Like, in the series, when he does, like, semi-serious stuff, it's, like, kind of like westerns or stuff that's kind of like you wouldn't get noticed. Because I kind of like, I don't know, Tombstone.
I was going to say Captain Ron.
You know, but it's, or like the Hateful Eight or something like that. But even now, it's like, that's more, it's kind of like, I think Kurt Russell's underrated, where he's always been a star, he's worked for a long time, but he's never been like Schwarzenegger, Stallone as far as action, and he's never been like Clint Eastwood for like western, and he's never been like De Niro, Pacino. Like, he does all those type of movies, but he's never been on that level. But he's just been consistently successful. He's been like John Stockton. Like, I'm going to keep, you know, like, it's funny where you never think of John Stockton as like the best point guard whenever he was playing, but he's a Hall of Famer. He all-time assist leader. I think all-time steals. Like, you know, just longevity will get you numbers. Like Cal Ripken. It's like, yeah, you do it long enough and you do it consistently long enough, because Kurt Russell is doing a lot better career-wise now than Stallone and Schwarzenegger. And even it's funny, like, Stallone being in the movie, and you know what? You know how I said, like, Kurt Russell, you always notice Kurt Russell? Sylvester Stallone cannot hide beyond anything. Like, you know exactly what it is. And I give him credit for the lines he had to give. Like, he didn't do a lot. He did the best job he could, because it's kind of like, he wasn't into that much, but yeah, he just made Michael Rooker look like a chump. And it's kind of like, once they broke it down and explained why, it's like, yeah, but at first it's kind of like, sure, we're like, it's Judge Dredd in space getting a hooker plan. It's like, why they got beef? Like, why do they got beef and everything? Because he's there, his friends are having fun, and the robot turns off, and Yondu just looks miserable. Like, I want to be anywhere else but here. And you can't figure out why. And then you see Stallone. Stallone's like, oh, you know, you just lost 99. You just lost business 99 Ravagers because you served this one. And it just bounces. And it's like, what's his problem? Then they break it down. Like, you know, you broke the code. You was dealing with kids. And you knew better and everything like that. And, you know, Yondu's trying to be all circumset. And like, you know, I ain't mean it. I didn't know what's going on. I'm trying to work stuff out. And then he's like, the hell with it. Like, you know what? Even though he wants his approval, he kind of reaches his breaking point. Like, I'm tired of kissing your ass. And Stallone's like, you know what? You do what you want. If you die, you're gonna be dead. Like, Stallone showed, it's funny where he cared, but he showed no sympathy. Like, I don't want to do this, but you know what you did? The hell with you. And it just feels a certain way when Sylvester Stallone makes you feel bad about yourself. It just feels like, it just makes you feel like trash. Like, you let Rocky down.
Well, it's funny that, like, Stallone just popped up, and Elise just goes, "He what?" Like, she leaned over, like, he's in this? I was like, I thought he was going to be like a surprise character at the end or something, which they saved that for some other people. Mm. But I was like, yeah. And he had that and it took off. And I'm thinking, that's it? That was different. Because I guess he plays Starhawk, is his name in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look that up because I don't know anything. Like, he's part of the original Guardians of the Galaxy, apparently.
Yeah.
There was a team in the 70s, which is in the end credits. That's them minus Yondu. Oh.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right. Because I'm thinking, why the hell is Vin Rings all of a sudden just showing up?
Like, well, why is Vin Rings and Michelle Yeoh, and why do I hear Miley Cyrus?
Yeah, you had to point that out. I didn't pick that up at all.
Yeah, so. I'm like, why? And then they all together, like, we going to work together. Who would have thought you would have
some shit? That was fantastic.
Who would have thought you'd see a team with Michelle Yeoh, Ving Rhames, and Sylvester Stallone and Miley Cyrus as a talking computer head as a team? Like, that's where we've come as far as like Marvel, as like comic book movies. Like, that's the thing. And it's like, I'm just sitting there gobsmacked, like all this stuff going on. And it's funny, we jumping around, and that's funny, like, Kurt Russell was the main villain. Aisha was kind of like, it's funny how they weren't even, they were almost like joke villains, even though you were thinking like, you know, she'd be the big villain or anything like that. And they was hilarious because these old fake prissy, like, we're prissy around strangers, but we act like frat boy dickheads when we're around by ourselves.
Yes, that was a very strange like dichotomy with them. I wasn't expecting that. Like, when they're all they're playing video games, basically, like not Street Racer, but Road Rash. I think that was a motorcycle game, right? Where you had to like get on the motorcycle. That's basically what they were playing. And then there's one guy left, and he gets beaten because Drax is a psycho and jumps out of the ship. And they're like, "Ugh, I knew you'd choke." Like, wait, what? Hey, fuck you! I didn't get blown up by a single laser beam. This guy had to jump out of the craft to do it.
Like little stuff, like when they land on the planet and they're rolling out the carpet so she can not scuffle her magic feet on dirty ground, and then they get stuck and she's just looking like, well, we get on with it. Like, just the little things like that. Like, this is just some prissy group. And the whole thing, the mission is like, well, why do they have all this technology? Why are they hiring the Guardians? He's like, well, you know, our lives are too important to risk. we're too important to get our hands dirty and everything. We're built genetically to be perfect from the ground up. You assholes take care of it because y'all expendable. Like, okay, that makes sense. You wouldn't expect to hear something like that. Like, we want you to do it because we're too important to do it.
Yeah, we're so important, we don't even actually go into combat. Which is actually kind of what we do now with drones and whatever else. I know we still have foot soldiers, whatever, but that's where it's going, basically. So, they're like, all right, well, I mean, I guess it makes sense. If they're like this advanced culture that just produces themselves. And, well, which essentially leads into Adam Warlock finally going to make his debut in the next one. That's who I'm figuring Adam is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just like the name, the Sovereign, and just they're just a bunch of goofballs or whatever else. And then I forget what was the crux of it at the end, that some council was going to take away the power of the Queen or something.
Yeah, because they were saying you wasted all your expense, like you spent a lot of expenses and like money or whatever and time on this misadventure, kind of like. You know, you wasting resources. What you doing? You just there to protect some batteries and all these ships and everything just down the damn drain. So, hey, it's kind of like even presidents have to talk to Congress.
Yeah, well, but it's funny the way they set it up. They made her seem to be the main person. And just obviously that was not the case. But, yeah, they were such an off-putting looking character, too. That whole gold on gold, I was that's really distracting.
And plus, she's so damn tall. She's she's like 6'2 in real life, barefoot.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, Elizabeth Debicki's her name. She's like the main villain in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's like, you're not used to seeing women actresses that tall. Like, unless it's like a basketball player as like a cameo or something like that, or like a wrestler or some bodybuilder. Yeah. Like, jeez. She made Nebula and Gamora tall. Like, Karen Gillan is like 5'10", 5'11", herself. So you got somebody that's 4 inches taller than she is. It's all gold with the gold headrest. It's kind of like she stands up and the headrest is just part of the chair. It's like, it was, they use color well. You always complain about, you know, movies look gray or dark blue, everyone's using the Blade or the Punisher Warzone filter. Like, this one is like, I guess I had some mushrooms left over from watching Doctor Strange, and I took it down, because when they jumped in hyperspace and all them 700 jumps and the faces distort, it was like, yeah, I couldn't imagine how this looked in 3D. Like, I saw it in 2D, and I was like, this.
Oh,
this
we saw the 3D IMAX for it. It was well worth it. It really was. Just a total trip. So, it was the first like Ego, when they first land on Ego. Mm-hmm. That just popped all over the screen. It was great, and I think that's another reason I liked it, is it's so loud, basically. And you don't get that with the other ones. Like, even the Spider-Man movie that's coming up is kind of drab. So, I don't know.
But I wonder how it will look when you actually see it. Because, I don't know, some previews I've seen it look drab, and some I've seen look comfortable. Like, it is Spider-Man, and that red and blue is noticeable. So, I wonder.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be looking like, you know, the second Thor movie or even the first Captain America movie, where they look. Like, Captain America movie looked drab, but it was like World War II, and everything kind of looked drab back then. It kind of fit. We spent all this time talking about this movie, and we haven't talked about Batista.
So I was just waiting for to wrap it up, this convo, wrap it up with the star of the movie.
Yeah.
Or at least the guy that made the most of the entire time he had in it.
The MVP of the movie, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, if it ain't Yondu, it's him. And it's like, it's amazing. We both watch wrestling. And we both watched Batista in wrestling. We both thought like he was talented. And then we became heel, and he was an enjoyable one. It's like, yeah, he's got a whole lot of talent. It's a shame he's just using right when he's about to leave. I would have never guessed that he would be as successful as he is in movies as he is. And especially at his age, because it's not like he started young. Like, he started like his 40s, more or less. And he said himself, like, you know what? I know I'm not going to be a star. I'm not trying to do that. I want to be a character actor and play characters. Like, he's come out and said, like, that's what I want to do. I want to do stuff that's interesting and stuff that I can, like, you know, sink my teeth into. And he plays that role perfectly, because it's kind of like when it's meant to be funny, he's hilarious. Like, just saying, like, all the, like, he's like that lunkhead frat boy with a heart of gold, that makes sense.
He had my favorite line/scene of the movie. And they played it differently in the trailer and, like, the commercials on TV. When Mantis is putting Ego to sleep, and I think, I can't remember, it was a piece of metal. I can't remember exactly where it came from offhand. It just plows over her. It already hits her. She's already, like, knocked unconscious. And then he goes, very earnestly, Mantis, look out. That killed the crowd. Everyone erupted laughing. Because it didn't seem like it was even him being a dick. It was, oh, hey, look out for that thing. And I don't know. It was the timing. And then also, I was expecting the line from the trailer. And when that didn't happen, I think that really fooled a lot of people. So
yeah. And it's funny. It was right when, because they played with tropes, because they did the whole hero. That's when everybody got together for the first time. And they're doing the hero pose, and the camera's going around, and you see them all formed up, and the music's playing. It's like, oh, this is cool. And then, pow.
Yeah.
She catches like a damn asteroid to the dome. And then 3 seconds later, he says, Mantis, look out.
what a dick.
And everything, like, him and Mantis had, like, great rapport, because kind of like, she's, like, basically a 9-year-old herself. And she's completely innocent. He has no filter. So the whole, like, you know, you're ugly, but don't worry about it. When you're ugly, people care about you. You know, we can trust people because you know they care about you for you and not how you look.
Like, see, that line I thought was pretty poignant. I was like, wow, okay.
I mean, it's true, but it's like, that's still a dickish thing to say, but she's like, okay, that's something. Like, she's trying to see the best of all the situations. And when he's sitting there on the planet and he's thinking about his, like, daughter and his wife, and she touches him, and she just start bawling, and he's just looking in space. I was like, wow. Like, he's just playing it straight. Like, he's just wistfully just looking in that atmosphere. And she's just there, and she's just losing it. And it's funny when he's not only his words, but how he carries himself. Like, when he wants to be pen, because keep in mind, he's the same guy, you know, I want to get payback because my wife and daughter got slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And that's always there in the background. Like, all these people got tragedy around them. And I think people miss the point, like, you know, why they're joking all the time. I was like, okay, Peter watched his mom die and then got kidnapped. You saw, like, Gamora was basically turned to assassin, murdering, what, how many thousands of people?
Yeah.
More or less. And, you know, after her family got murdered and she was raised by damn Thanos, Rocket was basically genetically engineered, tortured, and mutilated and dealt with all this stuff. Roots a walking damn tree. Yondu was a slave for 20 years. We already talked about what happened with Nebula. And it's not like, yeah, these people didn't come from, you know, two-parent households and went to Dartmouth. Like, they all been through it, more or less. And it's kind of like, you know, we're all together and stuff. And it's still, yeah. So if you take away the jokes and you think about it, like, yeah, this could be a depressing-ass movie. But the jokes and the vibe and the music and stuff kind of, like, hides the fact that this is a fucked-up team that's trying to work it out.
And, well, I'm not going to say they did work it out, but they were on a little firmer footing, and then you see the preview for, not the preview, but the different scenes in the credits with Groot now being a teenager. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, that was crack milk, because the way he was saying, like, he just sounded like a damn surly-ass 17-year-old playing this Xbox.
Yeah, and I don't know if we gave Batista his due, but I was listening to him on Talk Is Jericho, and he said he's only got about 5 more years he's going to be acting, which I thought was weird, because if those roles keep coming, I'm sure he's going to change his mind. But
yeah, it's got to be tough. Unless, because a lot of it has to do with how he looks physical, and it's tough to look like that the older you get. Like, that's the thing people kind of sleep on. You know, like, it's all, you just do the Marvel thing, you eat chicken breast and broccoli and do push-ups and stuff. And you can be thin and be in shape for a long time, but hearing how Hugh Jackman talks and everything, and like that's a toll. Like, I'm 38, and I've dropped close to 40 pounds since January. It's a pain in the ass. And I'm just 38. Like, it is tough just doing that, like, day after day after day. And I'm just doing it for myself, and I'm not trying to be on a movie poster. Imagine if you 44, 45, you wrestled for like 7-8 years, you already got wear until your body's like, and you that size. Because it's easy to have a six pack when you like 170 or 180 or even 210. You 230 and you 240, you supposed to be ripped. Yeah. Like, that's, and you in your 40s, that's rough. So that might play into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the Hollywood diet, you know, the guys in 300 were clearly on. But it's also, like, did you listen to him on Talk Is Jericho?
No, I didn't get a chance to.
Okay, that's where the retirement thing was talking. But he said he purposely got smaller when he tried going to Hollywood, to try and get, like, different roles in that. And then he said he was actually inspired by The Rock, where, all right, forget it, I'm just going to do what I can, get roles. And it was Jericho pointed out, Rock did the same thing. He got smaller when he went to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then just said the hell with it. And now look at him. He's just the biggest movie star, at least the most financially successful movie star in the world. So it's a good thing to follow. But yeah, I mean, Rock's younger than he is, too. So he even got, Batista got started in wrestling late, too.
Yeah, which is funny thinking about that Rock is younger than Batista.
Yeah.
But it's like we talked about it before, it's kind of like, Rock started so damn young. Like, when he was done wrestling, he wasn't even 30 yet.
Yeah.
Like, more or less. And it's like, he's been around for a long time. He was 41, 42? Something like that. So, yeah. Like, it's funny, like, Batista's going to be in the next Blade Runner movie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him in the trailer. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know he's going to be in that. I know he's that sequel to Escape Plan with the one Schwarzenegger Stallone did. He's in that. Like,
well, he didn't want to do that movie. This was on Talk to Jericho. I was like, I wasn't really all that up for the movie because I guess it's not a huge role. But he goes, but I can't pass up the opportunity to work with Arnold and Stallone. He's like, you can't pass that opportunity up. So I was like, oh, all right. So,
I don't even think Arnold's doing this one, though. I think, like, he was going to, but I think it's more like Batista role got bigger because Arnold's not doing anymore, but Stallone is.
Oh, okay.
So,
maybe I misheard that then. It was on a plane, so it was a little loud, but... I thought, well, he definitely mentioned Stallone. I know that much. So,
but it's just funny just thinking about, like, you know, how far he's come, and like it's just, who was that? He took somebody else, went out for that role. And I remember when they was doing Drax, and it was a couple people, and I forgot who. Like, it was, he wasn't the original front runner. Like, it was like names that he beat out, and people were like, well, that's kind of weird and everything like that. Like, why they pick him? And now it's like, he's probably the second most successful, like post-wrestling career behind The Rock. Like, and I don't even think it's, like, even debatable. It's funny, like, you think about, like, you know, I would have swore it was going to be Steve Austin. And for whatever reason, it wasn't. Like, Steve, he worked, but I wouldn't have guessed Batista would have had a way better career than Stone Cold would have did, like, movie-wise, but, you know, here we are.
Yeah, so. Well, looking back, Jason Momoa was one of the people. Isaiah Mustafa?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Old Spice? Is that the black dude from the Old Spice commercials?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Brian Patrick Wade? He was in Generation Kill?
Okay, that name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, and then Dave Bautista was the other one, so I'm looking up this... Yeah. Looking up this Brian Patrick Wade guy. But, because apparently Momoa was supposed to be the lock for this.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Well, he's going to be Aquaman now, so. Oh my god. That's this guy? Oh, yeah, no, it's good that they went with Batista. Yeah, anyways. But, no, you can't understate just how good Batista was in this movie. So, and I'm. They said they're already writing the third one, and James Gunn's going to direct it. And
yeah,
and they said this is going to be the last movie with this iteration of the Guardians. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what are you guys doing?
They can do what they want. That's the whole. Okay. TV aside, we still doing with this Marvel movies. Like, Kevin, you know the funny thing I've noticed ever since they kicked Perlmutter to the curb. Everybody seemed to be on the same page. It's kind of like we're all working together to do stuff because, like, Infinity War, James Gunn is helping with the space stuff, and the Russos are doing the non-space stuff. It's like, you know, I know how to do this stuff, and I'm using my guys, and we're using Thanos. We can do this way. The Earth stuff, you guys know how to do it. Because think about it. The fact that the Russo brothers and James Gunn or, like, the engines pushing the Marvel Universe, considering where they started and where they came from, is amazing. It's like, people always joke about the whole, oh, Marvel movies, da-da-da-da-da, look the same. It's like, they used to look the same because people weren't on the same page. Stuff is changing. Like, now it's kind of like, you expect to have excellence. Because, like, we giving people chances. Owns and fish the story, do whatever the hell you want. And... you got to keep in mind, it's kind of like, I figured the Marvel movie's going to look a lot different after the second Avengers movie. Because, you know, we started, what, 2003?
Yeah.
That's whenever Iron Man 1 came out. And by that time, by 2018, it's going to be like 14 years. Like, a lot of these people kind of getting old and expensive, or may want to do other stuff. Like, I know Robert Downey Jr. likes doing it, but he at the point where, how long he going to keep doing it? Like, Money certainly is not an issue because he could probably buy an island if he won at this point. I mean, between the money he gets from this and whenever you do Sherlock Holmes movies, he can do what he wants. Chris Evans talks all the time, like, you know, before it's like, I'm on leave, since my contract go. Now it's like, I enjoy doing it, but I like doing other stuff too. And he seemed, he acted a long time before they ever did Marvel movies in the first place.
Yeah, well, so it's not like he was in two of the Sony ones.
Yeah, like he did a lot of other stuff too. Like, he's been around for a while. Like, you know, so it's not like a Chris Hemsworth thing where it's kind of like nobody heard of you till you did Marvel movies. It's like, you know, I did stuff. I can do other stuff. I made enough in the bank. And you know, you got all this stuff to use. Use them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you can, like, and it's like, especially like, you know, people getting old and people get calling, like, you know, time to do something else, because you don't want to run a whole thing. You've seen it over and over again. Like, Fast and the Furious is the exception, not the rule. Most sequels kind of run out of steam by the third one when they keep the same group of people. Like, it starts to get tiring. James Bond survives that because it changes like every fourth or fifth movie.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible for the longest didn't really do that much. Like, I was surprised by the next one. It's almost like a straight up sequel, like, from the last one. Like, they brought back most of the people. They even brought the villain back. They never bring villains back from Mission Impossible movies. And I was like, I was watching something online, and then the villain from the last one was in there, like a scene with Tom Cruise. And I'm like, that's new. Like I was not expecting that. So, yeah, I know there's people like, you know, why, if it's working, why change it and everything? And it's like, maybe they don't want to get stale, or maybe they just, you know, maybe they want to do something different. Maybe the actors want to do something.
Well, I know one actor that's not going to go anywhere is Chris Hemsworth, because that guy's got no career outside of these. Well, actually, outside of the Avengers. I mean, the Thor movies didn't exactly blow it up, but he hasn't had a whole lot of success outside of these.
But you know what's funny, though? The Thor movies, like, did better than Captain. The first Thor movie did better than Captain America. Like, the Thor movies make money. They don't make, like, Avengers money or Iron Man money, but they do pretty good, like, internationally. And it's funny, like, Chris Hemsworth is a good actor, but no one sees his movies. Like, when he's the star of a movie, no one sees
exactly. That's what I'm getting at. Yeah,
but when he's like a supporting actor or character in another movie, then they go see his movies. It's hilarious where he deserves better, because it's not like he's in bad movies. It's just, for whatever reason, it's like, well, you ain't Thor. I don't care. Which is weird, because it's like, he's a good actor. I don't know what's going on with that. Like, some people just kind of see, like, you know, Chris Pratt, when he might look like a character movie star, but he's not one. And when he tries to be one, it's like, nah, you know, like, but when he's doing like this, like when he's doing what he's doing now, he's basically playing the same role in The Magnificent Seven. He's fine. So he can do that all day long and everything like that. Chris Evans, he seemed like, I do what I want to do. Like, yeah. Snowpiercer showed that I can get a check doing something else. Robert Downey Jr. is still Robert Downey Jr. And everybody else is kind of like, either I wasn't doing anything that much, or already had careers. Because some of, you know, I don't know, we want to get into it. A lot of these actors are kind of like, Idris Elba being like the fifth guy in Thor seems like it's slumming it. Because it's like, that's Idris Elba. He doesn't need to be in Thor. Like, it always felt like that's just a waste of his talent. But I mean, he's doing it. He's in it. So, and he's complained about it too. So hopefully they have more to do in this one. Yeah, but you bring up a good point. Like, somebody, you bring up a good point saying, you know, if you Jeremy Renner, you try to be on this boat as long as you can be. So, but if you somebody else, it's like, it's fine.
Well, Jeremy Renner at least has Mission Impossible as well.
Well, he have Mission Impossible. Scheduling got in the way, so he can't be in his next one because he's busy filming Infinity War.
Oops. All right. Well, never mind that. So, well, it really wasn't his character in the Mission Impossible movie supposed to take over for Tom Cruise anyways?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't going to work. He's a fine actor, but he's not one of these guys where you're like, I got to go see a Jeremy Renner movie.
Yeah, same thing happened to Jason Bourne. We're going to have him in there to replace Matt Damon.
Oops.
And that didn't work either, so bring Matt Damon back.
And that sort of worked, I guess. But anyways, since you mentioned Idris Elba, and this is a very, very thin way to segue, they released the trailer for Black Lightning. Black guy to black guy. That's where I was going. So, this supposedly does not take place in the Arrowverse.
Yeah, I got that quotation marks.
And because this takes place in Atlanta, and it's supposed to be more realistic, I guess. As realistic as you can be with a guy that can shoot lightning out of his hands. I didn't hate the trailer, but I don't know. I guess it wasn't what I was expecting.
You know why? It's grown folks.
Yeah, that's probably it.
I mean, that's the first thing I popped up in here is kind of like, because it's funny where I don't know if he's the main character or the daughters are, but it's kind of like the daughters are talking about how he used to be and what he's doing now. And that's the first thing I felt of like, these are grown-ups. Like, at least him was like, you know, because it's funny, like, Stephen Amell is not necessarily a kid, but he ain't old. Like, he's like regular age. Flash and Supergirl always feel like, you know, I just graduated college for the most part. Yeah. And I got like grown-ups around me. This is the first one I feel like, you know what, these grown-ups doing grown-up stuff.
Yeah, and Stephen Amell is 36 years old.
Wow.
That's a good-looking 36 years old. Damn, you're taking care of yourself, son.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, American Ninja Warrior, you gotta take care of yourself, because I think he's going to pop up on that like either next week or the week after.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Grant Gustin is 27. The chick that plays Felicity, Emily Rickards, is only 25. Huh.
Yeah, so it's mostly like young, and it's kind of like, it felt, I'm laughing myself saying it, urban and gritty, like it felt more lived in. And it felt more grounded, even though it's a guy walking around with lightning bolts, electrocuting people, and punching people 40 feet in the air. It didn't feel superhero-y. It just felt like a show with a superhero in it.
And I wonder if that's what they're trying to do with it, is, I'm just going to say it like this, but try to Marvel TV it. Not as gritty as, I guess, you know, Daredevil could be with the Punisher, but just with, like, subject matter, and then, you know, try to keep it grounded, unlike, you know, Arrow's just nuts this year, and so is Flash. So I just expected it to be part of the Arrowverse.
I think it will. I think, because they can always change their mind. I think they say that because it's kind of like, you know, we don't have any pressure, and if it works, we can always change it. If we say it's part of the Arrowverse, then you're wondering, well, when such and such going to show up?
Yeah.
Because the same thing like Supergirl. Oh, it's, and even that was a different network. It's like, oh, it ain't part of this old Earthlight, da, 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 da. And then next thing you know, they had a crossover with The Flash, and then next thing you know, they had a crossover with the other shows, and it's kind of like, yeah, you're in the universe. So rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking. It's kind of like, you know, one, it's a black superhero show.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that's something like, we haven't had one since more or less Blade. And
Luke Cage.
That's about like, different. Yeah, like I'm thinking like TV, not Netflix. Because like, I mean, besides Luke Cage, we haven't had a lot. And it's done like the showrunners, it's done by black showrunners. And it's funny with CW where that network's always, I don't know, like CW started as one thing and then became a completely different thing. Like, they aren't afraid of like doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
Even though I make the joke, like, and I was talking to Cam, like, CW must have this hotline when they want an ethnically ambiguous actress, they just call this number and just hit them. And
it's perfect.
I mean, yeah, because you, like, remember I was talking to you about like Arrow, and we was talking about the Black Canary, and like she's five different things. You think I was talking about like the characters? I'm like, no, she's like five, six different ethnicities. She's like Black, Russian, Chinese, something else, and something else. Like, I looked at her, I'm like, because it was kind of like she's something, but I didn't know. And then I saw her mom. I'm like, wait, how the? Because her mom like looks like a regular black woman, and I'm like. And then I looked up on Google, like, oh, she's this, plus this, and this. I'm like, oh, CW strikes again. Everybody just can't be one thing. It's like they always two or three things. Like, even with the Al Ghuls, where both daughters are mixed Asians. One is, like, Vietnamese and Italian. The other one is Filipino and, like, Irish or something like that. Like, And they look like sisters, even though they are nowhere related, but they look related. And it's kind of like they always have. And Calista Flock, like Cat Grant, made that joke on season one on the race. Was he called the racially mixed CW cast or something? When the Flash and Wynn and James and Supergirl all showed up, it's like that's one thing that's noticeable where they don't mind popping color in there. But to see a show where it's like predominantly black, it's like, I wasn't, you know, it's kind of like, it didn't take me long for me to notice it. I wasn't thinking that when I first saw it, even though the show's called Black Lightning, but within 30 seconds of watching it and watching the trailer, I'm like, yes, this seems like a grounded black show with superheroes in it.
Yeah. Well, it takes place in Atlanta. So, you know, isn't that like the black capital of the South? Is Atlanta?
Though white people are trying to take it over again like they're doing with DC, but yeah. Atlanta has, like, you know, has had that name for a long time. Like, you know, majority of black businesses, a lot of black cultures has been in Atlanta. Like, people move to Atlanta, black people with money, because it's like, that's the place to be. So that's a good city to have. And it's funny where it's a real city. It's not Star City.
That's exactly it, yes.
Or Central City, a capital city, or Bloodhaven, like that. It's Atlanta. And you brought it up plenty of times, saying how DC's weird where they have fake cities and real cities. Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if they just keep... That's why... I wonder the tone of the show, how different it's going to be if that's why they're saying this is not part of the Arrowverse. Because you pointed out there's grown-ups. All black show doesn't really matter, to be honest. In the Arrowverse game, it doesn't really matter. But I just wonder if they want to go with different themes in this. And without having to worry about Flash running through and being like, hey, what's going on, guys? You know, and just have Black Lightning and his kids be the focus, which is funny because the kids are a creation, I think, from like 5 years ago. All of a sudden, Black Lightning just had kids in the comics. It was never explained why. Because he had been single the entire time. I think he had a wife or a girlfriend that usually in typical superhero fashion either died or, you know, turned evil, whatever it was. But... So yeah, the kids thing's a new creation. Him retiring, that's totally something new too. So they're using the name, the powers, and, you know, the character name as well. But it looks like they're going to give it a different spin, which I'm fine with. You know, it's not like Black Lightning. He's been a favorite of mine because the name's cool as hell. Regardless, it's a black guy. Black Lightning, that's a cool ass name. And then he had a cool suit and he has cool powers. So I never understood why it didn't take off. And then, you know, Super Friends changed into Black Vulcan for whatever reason. And, well, actually we went through that. But I think it's, you know, not about time, but if you're going to make a guy on TV, that seemed like one of the easier ones. So I hope it works, but...
I mean, I'm sure it will, because it's kind of like, you know...
It's a shorter run, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine, probably had like the Legends run or anything like that, and it's funny how trying to like CW is basically a genre central at this point.
Yep.
Like all the shows they have and like how they move stuff, like Arrow's moving, not just moving nights, it's moving nights and time frame. And it's funny, like Arrow was first, and all the shows are kind of like because of Arrow. And I don't know if it's a rating thing. I don't know if they just wanted to move space because they wanted Riverdale to get more notice. Because that's the only thing that makes sense. And it's kind of like, you know, they know people won't follow Arrow anyway. So they're not worried about that. And putting Arrow and Supernatural together. Like, talk about a show that I'd never get. That show is, I don't even know how long Supernatural's been on. And it's almost like Law and Order SVU at this point. So at least it ain't Fridays. But like you said, and other people say, unless you're like a big time show, it don't really matter time frame. It's like you got DVR, you got on demand. Like people will, if they want to watch you, they'll find time to watch you. It may not be exactly when it comes on, but they'll get to you.
It's going to be Supernatural will be in season 13 next year.
Lord,
I've never seen an episode of that show.
I've seen bits and pieces because when it comes on TNT.
Like, that's true. Well, yeah, like, what I'm saying, the move was weird to me. It is what it is. But realize, to me, it doesn't even affect me. I watch it on the CW app. I mean, I watch all these shows on the CW app. So I don't think it really matters, especially if they give away the shows for free on their app. I think they just want the content. You know, it's on there. We get our ads, which I get the feeling they clearly get your IP now, especially since, you know, the government voted that, you know, it's okay for the sell your information now. Mm-hmm. Because my commercials on the CW app, they will be in English. And this didn't start until I got back. And then all of a sudden, my Subaru ads feature Mexican people, and they're all in Spanish. And I'm thinking, huh? Like, wait, how did this happen? And I was like, oh my God, really? So, but it's weird. It's only the Subaru, and it's only one ad. But it appears every single ad cycle. So, but, no, I'm looking forward to Black Lightning. I'm going to watch all the stuff anyways. And did you notice that Constantine is on the CW Seed app now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Vixen's coming back, and they're also releasing The Ray on Seed as well. So I was like, all right, well, downloaded that thing to start watching all that stuff again. So I'll have to catch back up on season one of Vixen, because that was pretty quick.
So, yeah, like it's a lot of talent. It's like it's a lot of content out there. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we talk about, the time frame, like they moved an hour back. They can be more violent if they want, which is Arrow's kind of violent at like, you know, so, but if we show, you can always get more violent as S.H.I.E.L.D. has shown when it moved an hour back. Like, yeah, so.
Yeah, I hope to catch like, up on that tomorrow.
Yeah, like it's funny where it's CW and it's like old CW, like, yeah, it ain't Beverly Hills 90210 anymore. Like CW shows are kind of violent when they want to be.
Well, that show, The 100, was it The 100?
Probably The 100.
Yeah, that show, the little bits and pieces I caught of that, they were flat out torturing somebody on that.
Yes, that's a
very... Isn't CW a teeny bopper thing? Like, why is this going on?
You comic nerds took over. Like, it ain't teeny bopper anymore. Like, The 100, those vampire shows, like, they get it in when they need to when it comes to violence. And we already watched Arrow, going thing, and we keep talking about Arrow. Like you caught up, I caught up. So it's funny we were talking about how Manu Bennett was lying. Like I don't know who said I was gonna be back on this show. I ain't back, and da 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 da. It's like you back, and it's funny where you knew he was coming back, and you heard, but until you see him, you're not sure because like, well, maybe they're gonna use a voice or a stunt double or anything like that, and he's just sitting there in the cell, and it's like it just felt so. It's funny. You're just so happy to see a villain coming back because he's like, he's the best, even as good as Chase has been this season. Like, Slade's been the best villain they had, and they always bring back good, like, he's always always equate him with good memories of Arrow whenever I see him.
Well, it's funny, people said, someone pointed out that basically Oliver's team is all the villains.
Yeah.
It's Merlin, well, Nyssa, I guess, kinda.
Yes, she tried to murder almost all of them. Yeah. Like, she, like, I know they might technically still be married because I laugh and it's like husband.
Yeah,
it's
I
like,
forgot oh, about yeah. that actually.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Like, but yes, all the people I tried to put away or tried to kill me.
Yeah, and then, okay, we both knew Slade was coming back. Or I'm sorry, that at least Deathstroke was coming back. Mm. I, for whatever reason, I didn't expect him to be on Oliver's side. So when it came to the end, when he walked into the Argus prison, I'm like, who the hell did he put down there? Because I forgot that he moved him. He's no longer on the island anymore. Or at least I don't... Yeah, he wasn't on the island anymore, was he?
No, he was still on the island.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, see, all right, so that might have tipped it off. But when he walked through, I'm thinking, who the hell is he going to talk to? And then all of a sudden, it was Slade. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to team up. And he's like, hey, kid. And then I just, then I, like, the credits roll. I was like, oh, you've got, and I'm at work watching this while I was working on break or at lunch. And I'm just sitting there. And I just put my hands over my face like, you've got to be kidding me. That's the end. Like, they got me. And, you know, with the age of spoilers, like, you knew Deathstroke of some
capacity. Yeah, like, even knowing... It's funny, like, even knowing he's coming back, it's different, like, actually seeing him. And it's like, and that's a show, like, it only, that show's been on so long, it built up to everything, and this season has been so great. It's like, that whole episode, it's funny, like, that whole episode was like, yeah, you remember all that fun you had last week? It's come back to bite you in the head. Like, it's basically like, oh, damn, a loss. And Merlin's pep talk, like, you know, family is the only, the family is what keeps you together, it's like that. And it's a shame it takes a sociopath to tell you that.
Yeah, and that's one thing on all of these shows, though. Flash especially, but then also Arrow has it. Supergirl, not so much. But when you've got the actors acting on these shows, and then you've got the other people acting, it's clear who the good actors are. Like, the seasoned, professional, top dog actors are in these. When Merlin shows up, you're like, there's a guy, there's an actor. Bennett shows up at the end for the small part. Like, yeah, there he is. And then, you know, Amell's gotten way better in the role. I don't mind him.
Yeah, they lucked. I know we said that. They lucked the hell out getting him. Because he was just like a regular, like, you know, on 6 feet. He's like, you know, a soap opera style guy. So to have somebody that can, like, act decently, can have a range of emotions, and can do all the stunts, like, that's not easy. That is not easy at all. Especially it's a CW show. We're not talking about, like, ABC or AMC where you got unlimited budget. It's not like that show could have easily been horrible if they cast the wrong person as Arrow. Yeah. So, and he's gotten a lot better as he's done it. Like, I guess, you know, getting your reps in will get you better. And he has to be because he's around a lot of people that can, I always call it, like, grown folk acting. Like, Arrow has a lot of, like, you know, if you don't bring your A game, you're going to get blown out the water.
That happens a lot on Flash whenever they let Jesse Martin act.
It's almost like a cheat code.
It's all right, hey, we need some gravity here. I got it. Wait. And he just goes and blows the doors off. And it's like, you know, I'm not disparaging the other actors. It's just, it's clear who the top dogs are, you know? So.
Yeah, like, because it's kind of like Cisco, the actor that plays that role, he did, this is like his first, like, TV role. Like, he did, like, theater this. Wally West did, like a DJ and did, like, dance movies. It's like, he was in movies and stuff, but it's kind of like, you know, teeny bopper stuff. You know, Flash was on Glee. Caitlin was doing, like, you know, horror movies and stuff like that, like, little stuff.
Yeah.
Jesse Martin been doing this for, like, decades.
Law and Order. Like, he's been Emmy Award winning Law and Order.
Yeah, he did. I think he got a Tony Award for Rent. He was on Ally McBeal for, like, he's been doing it for a long ass time. And he's like a grown. It's almost seemed like, you know, I need you to talk about, I need you to cry and make me care. And within 5 minutes, he makes them weepy eyes and just saying, you know, Barry's my son, or I love you, like, and just draws you in. Like, Arrow has, you know, like, the guy that plays Quentin. And but even like Diggle, like, he just come in, like, half the time you don't even notice him, but when he turns on, like, I'm here to, you know, cut the shit version of Diggle,
you need
a friend like that. Like, it's almost like they have him, like, you know what, when we need something, we always got Diggle there to hold it down.
Yeah. Well, did you know that I forgot his name, what's his name? Diggle, obviously, but
Ava Ramsey.
That's it. Did you know that he's on CBS's Blue Bloods as well?
I did not know that.
He's the he's the crippled mayor. He's in a wheelchair. Because we stayed at my parents' before we flew out for Cancun, and they had it on, and all of a sudden he comes across the screen. I was like, what the hell's Diggle doing on the show? My dad watches Arrow. He goes, oh, yeah, he's the mayor on the show. I was like, oh. Okay. So he's pulling double duty. It's like, well.
Keep getting those checks. So
no, that's not a disparaging thing. I was just surprised that he's on that show as well as Arrow. So, but
it's funny, like, you have that, and then the fact that, man, Spartacus, the gift that keeps on giving, because it's fun, like, all those people from their shows that shows up and just there, like villains and heroes. It definitely helps. And it's like I'm definitely looking forward to the season finale. And it's like when the episode ended, I was like, damn, you gonna feel like that when you watch Shield finally. Like, I can't wait. I wish you had watched it before we had a chance to talk about it, but we probably talk about it next week. Like, you gonna,
yes,
the way you felt about Arrow, yeah, you're gonna definitely feel that way about Shield. And that's all I'll say.
Okay. Yeah, we're pretty much running up on time, so anything we missed, we'll get into next week. One thing I noticed on Arrow is that Renee was not on the island. Not yet, at least.
Oh, nor was Dinah.
Yeah. I saw the preview and I saw Dinah and Laurel fighting, so, or whatever her name is.
Well,
Black Siren fighting. So.
Yeah. Renee's gonna call Deathstroke Haas, and I'm just gonna roll my eyes and start laughing.
Yeah. So there's that. But then,
oh, and quick thing before we go.
Yeah.
I know you laughed at me. I watched the challenge. Yeah. And you were asking me why.
I just
like,
didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, you know, it's pros versus athletes. CM Punk's there, and I'll say two things, quick things. Well, three things. One. Some of those people that were on the channel, like, I remember them from, like, 12 years ago. It's like, wow, such and such. Like, I remember Veronica and Darrell. Like, that's when I used to still watch MTV. And, like, they actually back. And two, CM Punk shows up within 5 seconds. He's being a jerk. But he has nothing on Lolo Jones when it comes to being a dickhead. Like, normally, you know how they say, like, reality TV is, like, they play it up or anything like that. I've seen enough of her and read enough of her interviews where they probably don't have to play up that much. She is just, like, horrible is not putting it strongly enough. Like, she really made an argument, like, I don't want to get voted off because I know we have charities, but I started this charity myself. I haven't been able to raise money for it, and my charity is more important than yours. And she said this with a straight face, and they're looking at her like, is this bitch serious? Like, she actually said that, like, she's if I didn't know better, I swear she was like an android or alien. Like, she has no filter whatsoever, and she has no problem putting her foot in her mouth. But she says so earnestly, like, oh, am I saying something wrong? Like, it's just, and she's arrogant and just holier than loud. Like, ugh. Like, it was just hilarious. And then three, it's no way in the world. Like, I know the MTV guys are used to, like, the challenges because they've done it before. But the pros got two football players, a WNBA player, a hurdler. One of them did the pentathlete, like, a heptathlete, a gymnast. It's kind of like CM Punk is, like, maybe one of the worst athletes on there. And he's a better athlete than the majority of these jokers on. Like, it's different when you, yeah, I can bench press 215 and do bear palm. And then, like, yeah, I played football for 9 years. Like, Sean Merriman was a Pro Bowl football player. CT is just some dickhead from Connecticut. Like, I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to be drama in this, but I'm going to actually watch because why not?
All right. Well, let me see where we're at. All right. We got 2 minutes. We got to make this quick. Do you actually think Iris is dead on Flash?
No.
All right. Same here. So. What's your theory? I'm curious.
That her and HR switched.
Okay, that was my thing too. Because they made a point of bringing up, which they haven't in forever, the face technology. You know, where they, you know, Jesus. Barry beat up the Argus guys, you know, because they didn't know it was him. So, and I was very happy to see King Shark back. And now we got to start wrapping the show up. So, thanks for listening, everybody. This is 101. We'll be back on a regular schedule. And we have to talk about something off the air before we sign off for the night. But thanks for listening. Stunt Granny on all media and your podcast devices. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with probably wrapping up all our shows. So, talk to you later, guys.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohadi, and if you're going to spend $175 million for a movie, don't spend it on King Arthur. We are out.